This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. What will North Carolina's new voter ID requirements look like? State lawmakers are working on that right now after a majority of North Carolina voters passed a new constitutional amendment requiring photo ID to vote. Some advocates are concerned that implementation legislation will look like the 2013 voter ID law that federal judges struck down. They said it targeted African Americans with, quote, almost surgical precision. Rusty Jacobs is WNC's politics reporter, and he joins us now. Welcome back.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us what's going on now. Is this bill at all similar to 2013? What's on the docket, and where is it now?
It's clear this bill, when it becomes law, and that's pretty inevitable that it will become law with the numbers at the state legislature, it will not resemble the 2013 law that was discarded for the discriminatory reasons. It would probably resemble some of the other statutes and laws that are out there in the 34 states mm-hmm. you hear about all the time as having more lenient, more accommodating laws. The measure that was approved finally by the Senate this morning, the North Carolina Senate, it means it now goes to the House, that measure has a much greater variety of IDs that would be acceptable. Namely, student IDs issued by UNC system institutions, North Carolina community colleges. That was not in an early draft. That was out just past week. 58 community colleges we're talking about, and private institutions. Remember, there are historically black colleges and universities among the private post-secondary schools in this state, and you can imagine the uproar if those student bodies were excluded from this.
Which was, as you say, in the first draft, so that had to be amended before this, with the final draft that has now been passed in the Senate.
That's right. Yeah. There was a committee meeting on Monday before this extra session started, and one of the presenters at that meeting was the North Carolina Community College administrator. So it was obvious lawmakers were thinking we need to broaden the pool of people who who can access acceptable IDs. So you have schools involved. You've got voter ID cards issued by county boards of elections. Those now, by a Democratic amendment from Senator Floyd McKissick of Durham, those would be they would have a lifespan of 10 years. They would expire after 10 years as opposed to 8, which was in the earlier version. And of course, employee ID cards from state and local government entities, including charter schools, and then DMV issued cards.
So this represents an expansion of the IDs that were acceptable under that 2013 law.
Without a doubt. And I it cannot be denied that that is an acknowledgement, a tacit acknowledgement by the Republicans who back this measure in the first place. They're acknowledging that if they go down the same road, it's going to meet the same fate as the 2013 law.
Let's talk a little bit about this, because they also may have been chastened by the election results in the midterms in which they lost their supermajority. And to be clear, they are operating now with a supermajority. That changes next year when the new legislature takes office. But to what extent do you think they were looking back at that court decision that where they had their legislation handed to them? To what extent did the midterms, do you think, chasten the Republicans and allow for a more accommodating law?
I mean, I think the tone at the legislature now probably reflects a greater desire for flexibility, really on probably on both sides of the aisle. It's clear the Republicans want a law that will pass not just voters' approval, but will pass constitutional muster in the courts. And the way to do that is to include some of these provisions we're talking about to be more accommodating to victims of storms. I mean, here in the measure that was approved by the Senate, if there's a list of reasonable impediments that would enable a voter who shows up without a photo to sign an affidavit and say because of a reasonable impediment, which would include lack of transportation and inability to obtain a photo ID, it would allow them to vote in person. So already they're making accommodations for some of the people who might be disadvantaged by a tougher, a more restrictive law.
Right, they could vote provisionally, and also stolen ID cards.
But I also want to point out that besides any change in Republicans' attitude, only two Democrats voted in the Senate for the measure that is now going to the House. But many more Democrats were involved in the shaping of the measure that will now go to the House. And that's important to notice. On Tuesday, before the extra session started, William Barber, recent MacArthur Genius grant recipient and leader of the Poor People's Campaign, was out there rallying protesters and opponents of this measure and said in a message to Democratic lawmakers, don't go in there and compromise our rights. Those were the words, that any participation in this process is complicity in something that they feel will disproportionately affect African American voters and voters of other, you know, elsewhere in the socioeconomic spectrum. So, but I was talking to a lawmaker that very day, and he said that's not a responsible way to approach this, that they have to be involved to make sure there is a more accommodating bill, one that avoids some of the constitutional disproportionate impacts that the 2013 law. So while they didn't vote in the end, Democrats were involved in making amendments that were adopted that shaped the measure that could be more accommodating.
In ways that they certainly were not involved at all in 2013 when the Republicans were running roughshod over the state, now chastened by both the election and, of course, the number of court rulings against them. Democrats have a seat at the table, can shape it. Again, a kind of interesting political position to be in. Did you play any part in the voter ID law? Well, yeah, we expanded it. And so, and again, they can not vote on it. I mean, ultimately, they can just step back. Shape the bill, step back, and let all the Republicans vote?
I don't know if you'd call it a luxury, but yes, they have the ability to participate in shaping it, but then say, you know, this is inevitable, but let the Republicans make the final vote. We oppose this. Listen, any Democratic lawmaker at the state legislature now will say, this should have waited till January. Realigned General Assembly without a veto-proof majority, then they could really participate. But at this point, it's inevitable. So let us do what we can to make sure that if a law emerges, it's one that is fair and just.
Rusty Jacobs, WNC Politics reporter. Thank you, Rusty.
You're welcome.